To start things off today, I want to talk about a ruling that came down from the United States Supreme Court last week. No, it's not the one on Obamacare. No, it's not the one on gay marriage. It's one that kind of slipped under the radar, and it has to do with college interns at work. Now, I'm hyper aware of this because I have a daughter who is in college and has done some internships along the way. And I've said to her in many of these instances, you're not really an intern because you're not getting college credit for this. You're a volunteer. She works for some nonprofits and has not been paid for it. And in my world, that's the definition of a volunteer. But we have lots of college students who do get college credit for it. And what that means is their parents are paying for them to volunteer. And I've also argued that in many internship situations, the college students aren't really doing much of anything beyond menial tasks. Well, that was at the heart of a lawsuit that was filed by a couple of college students who worked on the Oscar-winning movie Black Swan several years ago. You remember it with Natalie Portman? And they filed a lawsuit, and a couple of years ago, they won their lawsuit. But last week, the United States Supreme Court reversed the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit on this. And here to help me understand all of this and explain it and get us rolling in a discussion of college interns on the job is Jordan Weissman, who is the senior business and economics correspondent for Slate. Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you doing, Paul?
I remember this case a couple of years ago where they said, you know, they had to go out and they weren't really doing anything to learn the movie industry. They were essentially running errands for the director and other people, right?
Yeah, there's a long list of the tasks that they had to do in the judge's opinion. You know, typical stuff, getting coffee, photocopying papers. At one point, someone was asked to go get a non-allergenic pillow for Darren Aronofsky. So they were actually buying bedding for the director.
Yeah.
Detail. The case actually came down from the Second Circuit. It hasn't gone to the Supreme Court yet. It came from a federal appeals court.
Oh, my apologies.
That's just one detail. But anyway, yeah, it is a big decision that they reversed this previous ruling that had come up from the trial court.
Okay, so the reversal means that there won't be able to, that the plaintiffs in this, the college students who felt like, well, we were being forced to do menial jobs here and we were essentially volunteering to get coffee, that's not really what we signed up for here. Does that mean that their case can't go forward? And what does it mean for other college interns?
Well, so here's what it means. The original Black Swan case, the original ruling in the Black Swan case said that these interns qualified as employees under federal labor law, that you couldn't distinguish these interns from a typical low-level, entry-level employee, and so they were eligible for things like the minimum wage. This decision by the Second Circuit sort of reverse, basically undoes that decision. What they said is that the judge in the lower court used the wrong test, essentially, to determine whether or not somebody should qualify as an employee. And they come up with sort of a much vaguer set of requirements to decide if someone should be paid or not.
All right, Let me just stop you right there. What was the test that the lower court judge used?
Yeah, so the lower court originally used a test that had been created by the Department of Labor, and it had six parts, and one of them basically said that if the company was benefiting in any immediate way from the person's labor, then they were an employee, that they should be paid. And you sort of had to balance the six tests, but that was that one requirement about immediate benefit was really important. This new decision by the appeals court basically says that if the internship is educational enough, and that the intern is getting more of a benefit than the employer, then you don't have to pay them, that it's an internship.
So these interns, they learned a lot about non-allergenic pillows. That counts as education, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, right? Fetching a pillow and fetching a cappuccino is going to help you in your, well, I don't know, maybe the movie industry, that might help you along a little bit. But that's the gist of it. There's actually, so here's the thing that's kind of tricky about this case, is that it's not just about the test that they're using, because now their case is going to go back to the lower court, and technically the judge could say, well, these people still should have been paid, even under this new set of requirements. The big deal is that what the Second Circuit decided was that each individual case has to be determined individually. The former interns can't all bind together and bring a class action suit. And instead, they have to bring individual lawsuits against their former employers, more or less. The problem with that is that it's pretty much impossible for any single minimum wage suit for someone who would have been an entry-level employee to win that much money. So no lawyer is going to take it. The only way you would ever get a lawyer to take these cases is if they can bring a big class action where they pile all these claims together and then potentially get one big judgment. So it's going to make it very, very hard for anyone who should be paid to actually try to enforce their rights.
Isn't what's going on here really that these people are doing entry-level jobs, and because it's an internship, it may only last a semester, so they're doing an entry-level job for about 4 months, and then that's the end of their internship, and maybe they got an in, you know, a foot in the door of an industry or a company, but in many cases, they go away after those 4 months, and there wasn't really anything done there. Meanwhile, that's an entry-level job that should have been a paid position if it was so valued by the company.
I think that's definitely one argument, and I tend to agree with it. One of the tests the court is supposed to one of the factors the court is supposed to weigh is whether or not the intern is displacing what might have been a paid job, displacing an actual paid employee. But it's very hard, to tell. It's like, would the movie studio have hired someone to grab coffee? Maybe, maybe not. It's not, they can probably, Sony Pictures can, or Fox Entertainment can probably argue that they wouldn't have, even if that strikes the rest of us as kind of BS. But it's, in the end, it's both, you're probably losing some entry-level jobs to what now we think of as internships.
Well, let's talk about our personal experience, because I know in the radio business, we've had many college interns work at the many radio stations that I have worked for, and in many cases, they aren't much of anything beyond a gopher. Okay, we need copies made of this. Okay, we need somebody to go out and get coffee or bagels or whatever it is, or, show up at our promotion on Tuesday night at this bar and help us give away T-shirts and those sort of things, which used to fall under the heading of what we used to call a promotions assistant or something assistant inside the building. Are there interns at Slate, and do they do essentially the same things?
No, our interns are paid, and they tend to write. I will say that, different parts of the media industry treat this very differently. My actual first internship was unpaid, I worked at Billboard, and they treated me fairly well. I really did write articles and such, but in retrospect, I also was doing labor that directly benefited the company.
Right.
I was writing features for them for free, which is kind of, in retrospect, shocking. And I think there's been, I think there's been some movement, in part inspired by these lawsuits, but also just out of a sense of moral obligation by some companies to actually pay their interns who are doing real productive work.
Are you saying there's been a sea change?
I don't know if it's been a sea change, but there's definitely been a shift in the attitude among a lot of companies. And part of it was seeing these lawsuits come down the pipeline and realizing that maybe companies could get in trouble.
Has the U.S. Department of Labor or have any states stepped in to say, okay, we need to clarify this because we're really having kids exploited?
Well, so the Department of Labor did try, when it came up with that test, try to sort of step in its own way. The problem is that the court essentially said that the Department of Labor's test was too stringent. And the court gets the last say. The Department of Labor isn't the final word on these issues. So as far as the federal issue goes, the Second Circuit has basically decided how the courts need to decide, has basically told everyone how they need to decide it. Now, what could happen is maybe this issue will come up in another part of the country, and another circuit court will have to weigh in on it. And if it decides differently, then this could make its way to the Supreme Court.
And what's happened to the other lawsuits by other interns who thought, oh, well, we're going to jump on this bandwagon here, even if it's not part of a class action? We're upset about the way we were treated, too.
Yeah, so there were, over the last couple of years, there have been a wave of lawsuits, many of which actually followed the original Black Swan case decision. A lot of them settled because companies just didn't want to risk litigating this out. They thought their chances weren't very good. They paid millions and millions of dollars to their former interns. I don't know how – I haven't gone and checked how many lawsuits are still outstanding, but this decision doesn't bode well for them.
What do colleges say about this? After all, they're part of this triumvirate of student, employee, and educational institution.
Yeah, I mean, colleges tend to be fairly supportive of unpaid internships because there are a few reasons, but I think one of them is that some of them have a kind of really awful racket going where, you know, they will send a kid out on an internship and they will give them credit for it, but then they will also charge them tuition.
Right.
So it means they don't have to, they don't have any costs when it comes to that student.
Yeah, we don't have to pay a teacher. We don't have to have a classroom. We don't have to have a chair for that kid. They go out of the building, but then do they do any monitoring of what happens with the kid in the workplace?
Some say they do. And I will say that, you know, again, I had an internship in college, and they actually, it was a fairly involved and monitored program. But it's not, the, again, I feel like I was sort of lucky in that way. At a lot of schools, the sense is that no, it's not, they're not really carefully monitored.
Did your parents have to pay for the credits, Jordan?
I believe we did, but it was less. I honestly, it's been so many years now, I can't quite remember exactly.
But it's
how much we paid for that semester.
But it's likely that as in many other cases, you've got parents who are writing a check to an institution so that their son or daughter can go work an entry-level job for which they are not paid.
Yeah, that is exactly. That is something going on.
Yeah,
that is something that happens.
This needs to be changed big time. Thanks for your time today, Jordan. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Jordan Weissman is the senior business and economics correspondent for Slate.